Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June the 18th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain markets with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, the Senate Finance Committee should finish up work this week on a series of tax incentive rules aimed at getting U.S. businesses to consider alternative fuels for their heating and cooling needs. And the whole of the Senate has adopted a 25-by-25 resolution on renewable fuels. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and then I'll tell you why your college-bound high school-aged ag student should take 3 years of a foreign language. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll check in on that ever-important agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy. Stay with us for this Monday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, willag.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to willag.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finish the day like this. Wheat contracts 6.01 for the nearby July. Your harvest month was down 5.5 cents. September's at 6.17.5 on their settlement, down 3.25. In December, futures in the wheat pit at $6.22.75 a bushel were up 0.75 cents. July corn futures at $4.16, down 3. September down 2 at $4.24. And December futures at $4.23.5 settlement price. They were down 0.75 cents just to go back through the high and low. A new contract high set in the December futures for the corn pit, $4.31, the new high. The low today at $4.19.25 in a settlement. Once again, at $4.23.5, they were down 0.75 cents for the December corn futures. July beans 8 cents higher at $8.55.25 with a high price of $8.59 and a low at $8.46. The August futures at $8.63.25 were up 8.75. In November beans at $8.89 were up 8.25. July bean meal futures $2.40 gained today at $2.37.80. July bean oil at $36.09 up 21. August feeder cattle at $106.72.5 were down 22.5 cents. The June live cattle over at the Mercantile Exchange at $90.62.5 were up 7.5 cents, and the August futures were up 30 cents at $91.25 a hundredweight. June lean hogs at $72.79, they finished 9 cents higher for the day. From the outside markets, July crude oil at $69.02, up $1.02 at this hour, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands just about 14 points lower at 13,625.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, as he does each and every Monday afternoon, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it's been a wild and furious week and a lot of weather and anticipation of that acreage report, which is coming up at the end of the month. What can you tell us?
Well, extreme volatility. We get in this June and July time window. Weather's the dominant factor along with the weekly and monthly reports as a whole. We got to continue to expect some wide volatile swings in through here, both up and down. The bull and the bear are going to be right to some degree when it's all said and done, and we'll focus from day to day and hour to hour. The next hour or two, the main event we're going to be watching is this afternoon's crop conditions report. As a whole in here, the trade's expecting anywhere from a 3 to 7% decline out of a good to excellent category for corn, and maybe a 3 to 5% decline out of a good to excellent category for the soybeans. Obviously, the eastern corn belt's going to take the blow on the conditions ratings, and we'll sort of see what those numbers are. And I'll maybe give the overnight trade a little direction, but once we open up tonight at 6:30, the trade will quickly focus back to weather to see what type of precipitation is falling this evening. Also, too, as we go in the evening hours, we'll have another new weather model, And before we cease trade tomorrow morning, we'll have another model come out. So it's that time of year where emotions are high and volatility is high, and we're going to have some good swings both up and down.
It's all about the weather. As I came out of Mumford Hall on campus today, headed for Campbell Hall, which is where the radio station is located, that was about 1:30 this afternoon. Big thunder boomer outside, but no rainfall in sight. What are you hearing about rain? Anybody getting any?
It's really spotty. Here in Bloomington, normally we had a real strong downpour here for a few minutes. Over the weekend, there were some quarter, half-inch isolated spots. Here today, there's been some more of that. If you're the bear, you're going to say, boy, rain makes grain, and you know there's green on the radar. If you're a bull, you say, well, that rain don't count. It's not enough. How you average that all out, that's what the market's going to do here. But our best guess is the western Corn Belt, west of the Mississippi, is going to be in a position to receive anywhere from a half to 1.25-inch rain on good 60% coverage, whereas east of the Mississippi, we're looking at a quarter to maybe 7/10 on a 40% coverage there, Todd.
What do you make of the December contract high today? Made it $4.31, but settled lower. Technically, that's a hook down, but in volatility, I wonder what it all means.
Exactly. In the old days, back when you used the good old-fashioned high-low close charts, daily charts there, a new high and a lower close was a sort of a warning signal that the market has run its course. Closing fractionally lower in the D's and down about 3 in the July, you need to have a little bit more of a lower close than that, and the key will be follow-through. The one observation in the corn especially, if you look at the charts where it does incorporate the night trade, interesting fact, you can see a correlation that Monday trading range are either setting the high or the low for the week. So if we sort of fail to get back up there and challenge that high, we might have seen the highs here for a few days until we get a handle on the weather forecast.
Mm, so it's still all about the weather forecast, and how the technical trade can be probably not completely set aside, because I know the buy stops and sell stops are put in place by a lot of those, but will be traders more actively involved when the weather's in play?
There's that high emotion, you know, because when you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, you know, we can argue acreage, and they'll readjust acreage probably clear up to a year from now, but what moves the bottom line more than anything is yield. If you take the supply-demand balance sheet and go to batescom.net, and we've got some long-term supply-demand balance sheets that go clear back into the 80s, so you can get a real good handle on supply-demand. But if you tinker with the yield, take the corn yield, bump it up and down 5 bushels an acre, bump it up and down 10 bushels an acre, take the bean yield, bump it up and down 1 to 2 bushels, and go 5 bushels, and just play with it. Get the calculator out. You'll be dramatically shocked how you can leave that bottom line vulnerable to big swings up and down, which is carryout. And, you know, if you're an end user, you know, you tighten up that carryout, you're going to panic and you know, stand in line to gather some inventory. So, yield's real critical, especially with the big demand base we have. Not only the U.S. domestic supply-demand balance sheet, but the world supply-demand balance sheet for wheat and corn especially. You know, you start tinkering with production on it, you continue to keep this world supply ending stocks for wheat and corn at some very historically low levels.
How do you talk to producers about total income per acreage at this time and the either $4 or darn close to $4 cash prices they're capable of getting?
Well, that's a good question. And, you know, the same motto has been that airborne's a little bit different, and you got to keep it separate from trading and grain marketing. I know guys hate to hear that, you know. But, you know, we're at some very lofty levels here where if you take your current cash bid, plug it into your expected yield, you're looking at some very, very attractive returns, probably the best returns you've ever had farming. You turn around and say, well, input costs are going up, which is true. But, you know, you got to use these higher prices to sort of scale into it. And we're not recommending sell the whole crop, but you got to get with it. Probably our number one strategy continues to be buying the put options. Put the floor under you, and that way if we do receive some rain and we turn the market lower, you've got some downside protection. If the market goes higher, yeah, you'll lose 5, 10, 15 cents on a put option, but you're going to probably gain, you know, 50, 60, 80 dollars, 80 cents in the cash market, you know, if the market goes on higher from here. So that's our number one strategy, and continue to sell, have scale up selling orders. Our next objective to sell cash corn is when December futures trade 350, we're going to sell some more cash corn when December futures trade $5. And you got to have those orders in there and have some type of plan to follow. So it's going to be a roller coaster. It's going to be an emotional one. But as a producer, you got to have some type of plan in front of you. As a commodity trader, the trend's up. You got to buy anything that trades lower.
Anything else to add before we let you go for the day?
Beans, you know, they're getting closer to $9. And beans, they're still in the back burner in our minds. We feel beans still have a lot of explosive potential here. There's still time getting this bean market. We're doing some option strategies in here where you can get into the bean market at a variably cheap price. So if you're interested in catching a big swing in beans, I'd take a serious look at them here over the next week.
We appreciate you being with us.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimball of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. It happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you.
At the bottom of the hour, a meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Mike Sola says the two-state region tonight will encounter in the western part of Illinois some showers and some thunderstorms. In eastern Illinois and western Indiana, becoming mostly cloudy, some showers and thunderstorms there as well. Those will both mostly be after midnight. In the southern and eastern parts of Indiana, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from around 60 in northwestern Illinois to 72. In the southern part of it, tomorrow in western Illinois, mostly sunny. In the remainder of Illinois and in the northern and central parts of Indiana, partly sunny with a slight chance for a few lingering showers and thunderstorms. Those will be during the morning, then becoming mostly sunny. In southern Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy with a chance for some showers and thunderstorms. Highs will range from 78 in the far northern part of Illinois to 87 in the southern part of Illinois. Tomorrow, wind speeds in the afternoon will range from about 10 miles an hour in the south to 20 miles an hour with gusts up to 30 in the north. The minimum relative humidity level will range from 35% in northwestern Illinois to 60% in eastern Indiana. The extended forecast looks like this for the two-state region. Another weather system will bring precipitation to the two-state area this weekend. Rain amounts of around a third to half an inch are indicated. Heavier amounts can be expected to the north. A building ridge of high pressure will return dry and hot weather to close out the month, though, making next week's rainfall vitally important to the crop conditions. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL. I'm Todd Gleason.
In agricultural news, the Senate Finance Committee considers legislation this week that would extend a series of tax incentives aimed at convincing companies to switch to alternative and renewable fuels for heating and cooling needs. The bill would extend the credits until 2010 at an estimated revenue loss of almost $14 billion. Similar legislation has already been introduced in the House. The Ways and Means Committee could consider the measure as early as this week. Meanwhile, the Senate has adopted by unanimous consent a resolution calling for a new national renewable energy goal. 25% of the nation's energy supply from renewable sources by 2025. A final floor vote could come this week. And the California Air Resources Board has adopted a resolution that will mandate a 10% ethanol mix beginning December 31, 2009. The resolution is expected to almost double the demand for ethanol in California, which used 1 billion gallons last year. House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson released a Farm Bill commodity title that would make significant changes in target prices and loan rates for corn, wheat, soybeans, cotton, and other commodities.
There's going to be some rebalancing that's going to go on. And there will be some loan rates and target prices that will go up, and there's going to be some that will go down. And a lot of why we're having to make these forms or changes in the commodity title is to try to make all this money work.
The Farm Bill commodity title would cut the direct payment program to pay for the changes. The target price for corn would remain at the 2002 Farm Bill rate of $2.63 per bushel, but the loan rate would be reduced by 2 cents to $1.93. For soybeans, the target price would be $6 a bushel, 20 cents above the current farm bill, while the loan rate would increase by 2 cents to $5.02. Markup of the commodity title is scheduled for Tuesday. Ohio State University entomologists say northwestern Ohio soybeans are getting hammered by the early arrival of soybean aphids. The OSU release says Michigan and the Canadian province of Ontario also have high aphid populations. And Iowa State University researchers say satellite images may one day be a key way to detect Asian soybean rust. ISU researchers are using remote sensing, global positioning system, and the geographical information system to examine soybean leaf masses of just over 1 square yard. The images don't detect the disease itself, but rather the effects of the disease on leaf mass over time. Repeated photos on the same patch paint a picture of how a pathogen causes plant death. The technology may also estimate yield. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. You'll find a whole slew of things there, including a way to subscribe to our weekend newsletter. That one's absolutely free. It's all at willag.org. Up next, students expecting to major in agriculture at the University of Illinois are required to take a foreign language. As you'll hear, it is often best to do this in high school rather than at the career-oriented college level. Let's start with the simple fact that it might be a very good thing to major in agriculture at the University of Illinois, especially crop sciences. Here's student recruiter and wheat breeder Fred Kolb talking about the future demand for agronomy graduates.
That's an excellent question, and we expect the demand to continue to be strong because we know that several of the companies are expanding their research programs, and we know that several companies are looking to add 400 or more employees over the next couple of years, and so we don't expect this demand to drop off. We think it's going to continue to be strong for a while.
A while gives high school students interested in agriculture a shot at capitalizing, and I mean that literally, on that increased demand. Salaries are up, but only if they prepare themselves properly for the college experience. Kolb has this advice.
They should get a good solid science background as well as a math background. The more science and math that they have at the high school level, the better prepared they'll be for going into our programs. They should also take 3 years of a foreign language in high school, and that'll meet their foreign language requirement.
The foreign language is required, and for good reason.
Well, increasingly, we live in a global economy, and many of the companies that the students will work for are multinational companies that have locations in many different countries. And so that's why it benefits the students to have that background in foreign language. And incidentally, we also like students, when they're here, to do a study abroad experience. Companies look at that very favorably because the students had experience outside of the United States. That's also a good thing to do while they're in college.
If you'd like to learn more about attending the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences at Urbana-Champaign, please visit www.aces.com. www.uiuc.edu. For information on degrees in crop sciences, contact Fred Kolb. His number is 217-333-9485. That's 217-333-9485. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
On this Monday afternoon, Larry Wood of the Andersons joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Larry.
How are you, Todd?
I'm doing very well. I'd like to switch things around just a bit and have you give us your bids for the day first, if you have them available.
Sure. Cash bids at 416 for cash corn. New crop is at 398. January 418, and go on out to 2008, 399. Beans were at 825 on cash. New crop is at 854. January at 878, and next year is 868. Wheat were at 556.
With a rally to new contract highs in the corn pit, have you been busy there in Champaign?
Oh, it's been very busy, very busy. When prices are at these levels, I mean, and of course, everybody's calling and asking our opinion to either buy or sell. But at these kinds of levels, it's very profitable for most folks. Probably the big question mark that a lot of them have is what's going to happen next year. And, of course, what immediately is on everybody's mind right now is when we're going to get some rain around here.
Indeed. Are they waiting, do you think, for another 2 cents to have a magic $4 sale?
I don't think that. I think everybody does that. I think that's just a matter of habit.
You got to wait it out. So
whether it's $2 or $4, they're still waiting for an extra 2 cents.
Yeah, I know. So you said they're asking your opinion. What are you telling them?
Well, at profitable levels, I would certainly be selling the old crop and getting it out of the way, especially with basis levels rising as much as they have here. I mean, we've really seen a pretty incredible pop in the basis from the processors on down. I mean, we're well above normal historical values, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that cash grain is not moving very well out of the commercial hands into the processors, and we are of course also squeezing ourselves down from a 2 billion bushel carryout last year to a 1 billion bushel carryout this year. So it makes stocks a little tighter.
If we end up with that 1 billion bushel carryout, and I suppose that's given a normal growing season from this time frame out, what do you think farmers can expect in terms of prices? What we're seeing at the moment, or will we move much tighter?
Well, here again, given the condition that we have a decent weather for the rest of this year and the acreage that we have and a good yield, we've got to come out of this thing with about 12.5 billion bushels just to keep up with demand, and maintain a 1 billion bushel carryout. And if not, I mean, things are definitely going to get tighter, and we'll see the prices start to squeeze more things because we're going to have to ration demand a little bit. Now you got a little bit of leeway with 1 billion bushels, but you know as it gets tighter and tighter, then it gets more difficult to pull the stocks out into the market to be used, and we'll need more with that kind of demand. We're going to need more acres next year as well.
Larry, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Yep, Larry Wood is with the Andersons, located right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the cash grain market. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago about the agricultural weather. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Key Illinois lawmakers are promising a pending end to the months-long debate over consumers' soaring electric rates. Legislators say growing pressure in an overtime legislative session and a key meeting of leaders and utility executives last week have now set up an agreement on relief for consumers as early as this week. The details are scarce as key negotiators refuse to discuss how much money customers would see or how much their rates would decrease until a final agreement is hammered out. But lawmakers involved in the talks say discussions have centered around about $1 billion in relief over 4 or 5 years. Legislators say they're encouraged that the long electric rate debate may soon end, but they say there's still some work left to be done. Illinois American Water says it's nearing a record high demand for water in Champaign-Urbana, but a spokeswoman says voluntary cutbacks requested over the weekend are having an effect. The utility said the high demand was putting pressure on its treatment capacity, but Lisa Risen says the situation isn't an urgent one. Illinois American is still asking people to rethink their water usage as long as the dry weather continues. Illinois Comptroller Dan Hine says lawmakers need to agree to a budget soon or more than $2 billion in state services might be interrupted. Hine today warned of a looming fiscal crisis as legislative leaders and Governor Blagojevich remain in a budget stalemate. A spokeswoman says Cook County Board President Todd Stroger is going on leave because of a routine medical procedure that could put him off the job for the next 3 weeks. She didn't give details, calling it a private matter. A federal prosecutor says the trial of media mogul Conrad Black and his co-defendants isn't about executives who make mistakes. It's about four people who, in his words, decided on their own to take a slice of the company's profits. Black looked on without any sign of emotion as an attorney summed up the case against him and three other former Hollinger International executives. And a Purdue professor who developed new ways to process, transport, and store large amounts of fruits and vegetables while maintaining their nutritional value has won the 2007 World Food Prize. The award to Philip Nelson recognizes people who help improve the availability and quality of food throughout the world. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to WILL Urbana. This is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On this Monday afternoon, meteorologist Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest and around the globe. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Will it rain?
Well, it depends on where you're located here, Todd. We do have some isolated to scattered thunder showers now developing across sections of eastern and northern Illinois. It's actually the best chance of rain here actually occurring overnight as a frontal boundary, which is now located over western Iowa, sweeps through the region here. So overall, though, we just expect more kind of scattered activity rather than anything widespread. And the way, at least over the next several days, it still looks like more of a minor rain-producing system rather than anything that major.
A scattered hit and miss at, what, 50, 60% or lower than that?
Well, from our coverage standpoint, we're taking really the next 7 days here because it looks to be another opportunity for rainfall later on this week on Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, at least with the focus of attention here being the eastern belt, we expect coverage over the next 7 days to be about 35% of the eastern belt receiving amounts generally in the range of 0.3 inches up to 1.3.
That doesn't sound like enough either in the rainfall gauge or certainly not in the coverage area. How terribly suffering are they in the farthest parts of the Corn Belt to the east, and how dry are they into the southern part of Indiana, I suppose?
Well, for the month to date, but even extending back through around May the 1st, your rainfall totals have been less than 25% of average. And along with the lack of significant rainfall, we've also seen a bias of above normal temperatures and some periodic heat, such as what we've seen here over this past weekend. And so that's allowed for, obviously, a drop in soil moisture and beginning to increase crop stress across the region here. And still, not any kind of major issue at this time, but certainly you're going to need some relief here before we get into July, which is obviously the most important month here coming up.
That takes care of the Midwest or the eastern Midwest where they're suffering. Out west, will they get more rainfall?
Well, across the western sections of the Midwest, they will have at least more widespread activity compared to the eastern Midwest, but getting further west into the Plains Hard Red Winter Wheat Belt, which has been kind of the just the wet spot here in the
mm-hmm.
country of late and, you know, delaying harvesting of winter wheat, that area is now finally starting to dry out here after numerous weeks, and as a result, that should allow for market improvement in harvest activity.
Round us out and take us to the corn crop in China, and we'll probably need that one to be on hand if we end up short here.
Well, certainly, Todd, that is a very interesting area to watch here, and especially that northeastern section of China in the provinces of Hebei, Liaoning, Jilin, and Heilongjiang, some of the heart of corn and bean production. That area, kind of similar to the eastern Midwest, has turned dry here over the past several weeks and looks to continue to be that way over the next couple of weeks. And so they got good rains back in May and April, but now with this dryness starting to evolve, now it's a matter of how long does it last before we have some issues there in northeastern China.
Mark, we appreciate you being with us today.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Monday afternoon, and that is today's Closing Mark Report. Tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the commodity markets with your director of ag programming at the station, WILL's own Dave Dickey. Always, you can pick up the programming content on our website at willag.org. We encourage you to visit there. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.